You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 311. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 311. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Our website is eslpod.com. On it, you can visit our ESL podcast store, which has some additional premium courses in business and daily English. You can also download the learning guide for this episode and every current episode. The learning guide contains lots of additional information, including a complete transcript of this episode. On this cafe, we're going to have another one of our Ask an American segments, where we listen to other native speakers talking at a normal rate of speech, a normal speed. We're going to listen to them and explain what they are talking about. Today we're going to talk about teen athletes and some problems that they have. Specifically, we'll be talking about concussions. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. Today we're talking about teen or teenaged athletes. Athletes are people who play some sport. We're going to talk about some of the problems that teen athletes have, especially when it relates to concussions. A concussion, C-O-N-C-U-S-S-I-O-N, is when you get hit on the head, typically, and you lose consciousness. That is, for a second, you don't know where you are. You sort of fall asleep. When you wake up, you're often confused. You don't know where you are. There are other symptoms, other signs of a concussion. A concussion is an injury to the brain, and it can be very serious. American athletes, athletes in any country, can suffer from a concussion if they are hit on the head. We typically associate concussions with the sport of American football, where people are hitting each other all the time. However, it can happen in any sport. Today we're going to listen first to a young man by the name of Dane Harlow. He's a 17-year-old high school athlete. He's going to talk about what happened when he was wrestling. Wrestling is a sport where two people, usually two men, grab each other and try to throw each other down, try to keep the other person down on the ground. It, of course, comes from the Greeks. At least that's who we often associate it with in Western culture. Now let's listen to Dane. He talks like a typical American high school student, not very clearly sometimes. We'll listen to him and then we'll explain what he said.
I kind of backed up a little bit and I told the ref I needed a timeout. And so the trainer came over and checked me. And she just wanted to see if I was having any symptoms of concussion.
Young Dane says that while he was in a wrestling match, That's what a game, a competition between two wrestlers is called, a match. He backed up a little bit. To back up means to move your body backwards. He says, I kind of backed up. Kind of here usually would mean sort of, in a way. But my guess is, like a lot of people speaking informally, Dane is just using this as a filler, as a few words that you say when you are thinking of what else to say, or it could just be the way that he talks. I kind of backed up a little bit, a small amount, and I told the ref I needed a time out. A ref, R-E-F, is short for referee, R-E-F-E-R-E-E. A referee is the person whose job is to watch a game and make sure people are following the rules. In basketball, a referee or a ref looks to see whether players are pushing each other, for example. In wrestling, a ref determines when one wrestler has held down another wrestler for a long enough time to win the match. A ref is also looking for illegal moves, things that you're not supposed to do. Dane asked or told the ref that he needed a time out. A time out is a pause in the game. It's a phrase that is sometimes used in schools by teachers when students are misbehaving, when they're yelling and screaming or doing something wrong, which is most of the time. The teacher will then sometimes say to one student, Johnny, you're going to get a timeout, which usually means that you take the child and you put them somewhere else, maybe in the corner, in a smaller room, maybe a closet. Well, maybe not a closet, but you take the child away from the other children. They are getting a timeout. Parents sometimes use this. My parents never gave us timeouts. They would just yell at us or send us to our rooms. I guess that's a sort of timeout. You have timeouts in lots of different sports. Football has a timeout. Baseball has a timeout. You can ask for a break, a pause in the game, for whatever reason. There are limits to how many timeouts you can ask the ref for, especially in American football. But the general concept is one that you will find in many different sports. Well, Dane wasn't feeling well, so he asked the ref for a timeout. Then he says, and then, the trainer came over and checked me. A trainer is someone kind of like a coach who works with athletes to make sure that they stay healthy. Trainers often have some medical knowledge. They're not doctors, usually, but they can tell whether someone is hurt or not. A trainer came over to check Dane, to look at his physical condition, to see if there was anything wrong with him. To come over means, in this case, to walk from one place to another. The trainer checked Dane. She just wanted to see if he was having any symptoms of concussion. A symptom, S-Y-M-P-T-O-M, is a sign, an indication. Concussion, as we mentioned earlier, is an injury to the brain that happens when you are hit in the head usually someone feels a little sick, maybe a little dizzy, and often will lose consciousness, will not know what is happening, or will go to sleep, if you will, for a short period of time. Let's listen to Dane one more time.
I kind of backed up a little bit, and I told the ref I needed a timeout. And so the trainer came over and checked me, and she just wanted to see if I was having any symptoms of concussion.
Next, we are going to listen to Dane's father, Dennis Harlow. He's going to describe what he saw that day, the day that Dane was injured. Let's listen.
Dane just laid there face down on the mat with his arms by his side and the kids working him. And I'm looking and wondering, why is this continuing? Obviously something's wrong. And when Coach Shoulders said there's obviously something wrong, stop the match, the ref blew the whistle and stopped it. And that was actually turned out to be the end of the match.
Mr. Harlow begins by saying that Dane, his son, was lying face down on the mat. To lie face down means to be on the ground with your face on the ground. Your whole body is on the ground. He was lying face down on a mat, M-A-T. A mat is a soft, padded type of flooring that you use for wrestling matches or gymnastics. It's, for example, when you watch the gymnastic events at the Olympics, when the athletes jump up and down, they're jumping up and down on a mat. It's like a thick cushion on the floor. In wrestling, they use a mat for the sport. That's where the wrestlers wrestle on. So Dane is lying down on the floor with his face down on the floor. Dennis, the father, says that his son was lying face down with his arms by his side, and the kids working him. The kid is the other wrestler, the other young man who is in the wrestling match. To be working him here means, in this context, to be hitting him or to be holding him down. That's really what wrestlers do. They don't hit or aren't supposed to hit each other, but they are trying to hold each other, and that's what's happening here. Dennis is confused. He says, I'm looking and wondering, I'm thinking, I'm asking myself, why is this continuing? Why is the match continuing? Obviously something is wrong. And when Coach Shoulders, the name of the coach is Shoulders, his last name, said, there's obviously something wrong. Stop the match. To stop the match means to end the match, to end the game. The ref, the referee, blew the whistle and stopped it. A whistle, W-H-I-S-T-L-E, is a small plastic or metal thing, device, that makes a loud, high-pitched noise. You will hear a whistle in many different kinds of sports, usually to stop the game or to indicate that there's some problem. Whistles are also sometimes used by police officers to get people's attention, although I'm not sure how many police officers have whistles nowadays. But they used to do that. So the ref blew is the past tense of the verb to blow, which means to put air into the whistle from your mouth so that it makes a sound. The ref blew the whistle and stopped it, meaning stopped the match. And it was actually, it turned out to be the end of the match. It turned out to be is a phrase we use when you realize something only later. I saw a man and I yelled to him, not knowing who he was. It turns out that it was my brother. I didn't recognize him. I didn't realize it at first, but then later I did. That's when we use this expression, it turned out to be. Let's listen once more to Dane's father.
Dane just laid there face down on the mat with his arms by his side and the kids working him. And I'm looking and wondering, why is this continuing? Obviously something's wrong. And when Coach Shoulders said there's obviously something wrong, stop the match, the ref blew the whistle and stopped it. And that was actually turned out to be the end of the match.
Finally, we hear from the trainer, Allison Lane, the woman who went to Dane to try to see if there was anything wrong with him. Let's listen.
An athlete that sustains a concussion will have any number of symptoms. Confusion or fogginess, inability to think straight, a headache, nausea, dizziness, feeling off balance.
Allison says that an athlete that sustains or has or gets a concussion will have any number of symptoms, meaning they will have one or more of these symptoms, these signs, these indications. She then gives an example of some of the symptoms. She says that an athlete with a concussion might experience confusion or fogginess. Fogginess is when you're not quite certain where you are. It's very similar to confusion. The word fog, F-O-G, describes a weather condition where there are a lot of clouds close to the ground, making it difficult to see. We often get fog here in the west side of Los Angeles near the ocean, and that's true near many oceans. There's another expression, to be in a fog, which means to be somehow confused or not completely aware of what is going on around you. Another symptom is inability to think straight. To think straight means to think clearly, logically, reasonably. Sometimes if you get excited, you're not able to think straight. When a man sees a beautiful woman, he is not often thinking straight. He's not thinking clearly and logically. This can be very dangerous. As dangerous as a concussion, I think. A headache is another symptom of a concussion, where your head hurts. Nausea, N-A-U-S-E-A, is a feeling that you are going to be sick, that you are going to vomit or throw up. That is, the contents, what's inside your stomach, comes up and out through your mouth. Not a pleasant feeling. Nausea isn't the same as vomiting. It's feeling like you are going to vomit. Dizziness is another symptom where you have a feeling that you're going to fall down or that the world around you is spinning. If you have dizziness or if you're feeling dizzy, it's the same thing. You may feel off balance. To feel off balance is to feel like you're going to fall down. Those are some of the symptoms of a concussion. Confusion, inability to think straight, a headache, nausea, dizziness. This is how I feel every morning when I come to work. maybe I have a concussion. Let's listen to Allison one more time.
An athlete that sustains a concussion will have any number of symptoms. Confusion or fogginess, inability to think straight, a headache, nausea, dizziness, feeling off balance.
Concussions can be very serious. That is, they can cause some serious damage, especially if you have more than one over a period of time. So a lot of high schools are trying to prevent concussions and also have more people at these games, more trainers who know what to do and how to determine whether someone has a concussion. Now let's answer some of your questions. Our first question comes from Rainer, R-A-I-N-E-R, in Germany. Rainer wants to know the difference between the words customer and client. Customer, C-U-S-T-O-M-E-R, and client, C-L-I-E-N-T, can both be used to refer to someone who buys something from someone else. It could be a physical thing. It could be a service. In American English, customer is a little more common when we talk about people buying something, some object. Client is a little more common when talking about buying some sort of service. For example, you have an accountant, you have a lawyer, you are their client because they provide you with a service, not a thing. If you go to a store and buy some groceries, you're a customer of the store. We wouldn't call you a client of the store because client is used more frequently for services. Sometimes people talk about client when they're referring to a larger business. You might, for example, be a bus company and you go and have your buses fixed. We would say that you are a client of the mechanic who fixes your buses. But if you go in with your individual car, they would probably call you a customer, even though it's a service. So you can see there isn't an exact rule you can follow here. Generally speaking, a client is either a large business that buys something from your company, or you as an individual who is purchasing, who's buying some sort of service. Client sounds a little more formal, a little more polite in some circumstances, but they both mean basically the same thing. You're buying something from someone else. Thot, T-H-A-T, in Cambodia, wants to know the difference between the words overwhelming and exciting. Overwhelming, O-V-E-R, W-H-E-L-M-I-N-G, means very strong, very powerful. It could be a good kind of powerful. It could be a bad kind of powerful. The winds from the rainstorm were overwhelming. They knocked me down to the ground. Or the smell of her perfume was overwhelming. It was so strong, I thought I was going to be sick. Or you could say, the support that my friends gave me when I was sick was overwhelming. It was very strong. It was very powerful. Exciting, E-X-C-I-T-I-N-G. T-I-N-G, is a feeling of pleasure, a strong feeling, very positive. When we say something is exciting, we mean it's interesting, it gets us interested, we feel a lot of pleasure, we are thrilled. We may say, for example, he leads an exciting life. He's always doing fun, interesting things. Or this book has an exciting ending. Something surprising happens. It's very exciting. It's very fun. It's enjoyable. Finally, Tetsuya, T-E-T-S-U-Y-A, in Japan, wants to know the proper or correct preposition we put after the word discussion. Do you say it's a discussion on, it's a discussion about, it's a discussion of? Which is correct? First, a discussion is when two people or more than two people have a conversation. They talk to each other about something. Usually it's a serious conversation. When we're talking about that kind of serious conversation, normally we use the preposition on or about. We had a discussion about our plans for a new website. The professor had a discussion on race relations in the United States. Either one can be used, about or on. When you use discussion to mean a formal speech, as it can be used, or a formal piece of writing about a certain topic, then we would use the word of. This is a much less common usage, however. The governor's speech, or the president's speech, included a discussion of race in American society. Or the professor's article included a discussion of the changes in civil rights over the last 50 years. So it's a formal piece of writing or a formal speech when discussion refers to that sort of presentation of information, not a conversation between two people, then of is more common. In the case of a formal speech or a piece of writing, the word discussion is really the same as a thoughtful presentation of ideas given by one person who knows a lot about the topic. One more note, discussion about is more common in informal situations, talking about your family or your friends. Discussion on would more likely be used in a formal discussion at the university, at your business, and so forth. Both of them refer to conversations between two people or more than two people, but we tend to use about more for personal things and on, which sounds a little more formal, for business, school, that sort of thing. If you have an overwhelming need to get one of your questions answered, email us at eslpod@eslpod.com. We cannot promise our answer will be exciting, but we'll try to give you the correct answer, which isn't always very exciting. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us again here on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2011 by the Center for Educational Development.